Last night, the Chapel Hill Town Council met. Lot of items on the agenda. And joining us now, having had a big day following that meeting last night, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Have you slept?
No.
Okay, good.
I kind of rolled right into the early
season.
Morning.
Get out and,
Well, we had a very meaty meeting, as I said, and I thanked the council at the end of it. We worked through a lot of things that we were trying to get done while we had the experience of the four members rolling off. They've had a long history of being on the council and knowing things, and we have new people coming in, which provides new opportunities, but also a steep learning curve. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to work through things that this council had initiated or been involved with to finish up and wrap up. So that was a very meaty agenda, which went long, but I was very proud of them. They worked really, really hard.
So what were the items, the big items?
Well, we have we're still working on our fire station over at Hamilton Road, and it's got some budget overruns, and we're trying to figure that out. So that came up with there. We were talking about the conditional zoning tool, which we end up passing, which is a different tool for Chapel Hill. A lot more communities in North Carolina are using it. It allows for more conversation with stakeholders and the public and being able to attend meetings. It gives the council more latitude for turning something down just because they don't like it or for asking for more conditions. That's what conditional zoning means. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be able to talk to neighborhood groups, the planning board members, whoever, because in quasi-judicial, you can't have those conversations.
Right.
So if I get an email question from a member of the public, I can't legally answer it during an SUP process.
And I remember, this was a couple of years ago, but I remember talking with some economic development people in Chatham County, like down in Pittsburgh, where they were saying part of the process is to sit down with stakeholders and have those conversations early so that we get all of those kinks worked out before the actual process begins.
But you really can't get all the kinks worked out before the process begins because it takes getting in the process with the engineering designs, with the traffic counts and the flows and the environmental stuff. You'd get that as it's going through the main part of the process, and that brings up questions and concerns, and more dialogue needs to be had. And that's why I think the conditional zoning tool is working well for many North Carolina communities, because you can attach those conditions, you can make buffers bigger. And the SUP process, if the applicant meets the four findings there, you don't have the right to turn them down. Legally, you don't. But in a conditional zoning, you can say, we don't like the way it smells, we're done. And that is a legislative prerogative of a council. So it's a much better tool for our community. Now, we need to tweak it to make it Chapel Hill-ish, and we're working towards that, but we made great progress last night in getting those steps taken so that we'll have that tool in our arsenal.
What constitutes a tweak to make it Chapel Hill? No, literally every listener just had like their own idea pop into their head.
Because we do care about things that are beyond the minimum standards on things, environmental things, our RCD. We have concerns about parking and traffic flow and pedestrian. We like our mobility things. So while our LUMO's in the rewrite mode, there are certain things that are Chapel Hill-esque that we really look at. We want building designs to fit into the community. We know that as we redevelop along our major corridors, those transition into residential neighborhoods. And we need to be able to say, look, there's got to be a way to make that feel like it fits versus a big, huge wall right up against you.
Immediately following houses. Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing that's Chapel Hill-esque.
Okay.
Yeah. So good things.
Yeah. So conditional zoning, that's not going to be for the, we talked about this before, it's going to be for portions of town, or is it up to the developer?
So last night we learned that was one of the confusing parts.
Yeah.
So anybody could request a conditional zoning. So anybody can request a rezoning right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you could request a conditional zoning for any property you wanted, and the council has the right to say yes or no, that they're willing to go down that path. Well, right now, for any property, you can request an SUP process, and it's literally, we made the two processes mirror each other as far as steps and process. There's just the difference of the quasi-judicial and the SUP, where you can't talk, and the conditional zoning, where you can talk and attach specific conditions that may or may not be the minimums or the standards that the applicant, I mean, they have to agree to them too, that you have a condition in there.
What's the advantage for like a developer or someone who wants a rezoning to ask for conditional?
They struggle with the quasi-judicial they can't ask the questions and get the answers and find out what the community's thinking or the people who are making the decision. They can't get a feel for it other than that very formal meeting. That's the only time they're allowed to have the interaction.
Okay.
So they're looking for more predictability. other communities have used this to put in some different kinds of standards while they're working on their ordinance rewrite. We are rewriting our land, our LUMO, our land use management ordinance to be better, but it's going to take, it's a 3-year process, we learned. So during that time, while we have these projects come through, it gives us an opportunity to say the things we want to have in there.
And you did talk about the LUMO last night as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did. We talked about
it. I'm surprised
it.
You're not still there at the meeting with all of these items. I had to print this out. Look at the font. I had to print
there.
This out on.
I was there. Yeah, they did a good job. It's a very involved process, and we have hired someone to come in who's been great. She's worked on this before, of going through and finding some of the inconsistencies of other ordinances we've passed on top of the LUMO. We've had planning board input. We're going to be going out and doing stakeholder gathering of information of things that worked well in their opinion, things that need to be fixed, things that no longer make sense, things that were missing, and gather that stakeholder information and then actually begin the process of rewriting. I went through this at the county level. We called it the UDO, the
yes.
Unified Development Ordinance.
The UDO.
The UDO.
Yes.
The UDO, whatever.
UDO, yeah.
We went through it, and it became much better for both the public to understand what was going on, the applicant to go through the process. It was a clear set of guidelines. The other thing we've been doing is we've been pulling out pieces like the design guidelines, things like that, the public works the standards for implementation, so that we can tweak those without having to go through the whole LUMO rewrite again. Mm. The double public hearings, some of the stuff was like making them, well, the ADA compliance was in there, but the low vision that we wanted to include wasn't in there. In order to do it, you'd have to go through a text amendment. So this way, you can bring the standard changes to council for a public input and a vote, but you don't have to have two public hearings on it. And usually you're upgrading to the national or state standards that have been improved, or a community request for something to be improved. So these are all usually very good things to put in there.
So there's going to be a lot of public feedback on what needs to change, but
yes.
You've already got an idea, I assume, and staff has an idea of what's in there that should change,
yeah,
right?
A lot of the stuff in there is just confusing is part of the problem. It just doesn't have much clarity. So we spend a lot of time, our attorney, Ralph, spends a lot of time meeting with staff and developers. They come in to ask, this isn't fair, this is pretty vague. So can I do this or this? And when it's vague, then you have to give a legal opinion on it. So that takes resources, and hopefully we'll be less vague. We'll be more direct with the things that we're looking to see.
Yeah.
So that was on there.
All
then
right.
We had the American Legion Task Force report, and we had a lot of people come out to give their input as well. The task force did their charge, which was to look at recreation facilities in the community that we need, or the wants. They held the charrette, where people came and gave input. They had a survey. It was a very short window, and they didn't have many resources to work with. So we know it didn't capture everybody's opinion, but there were 900 and something responses, which is a pretty good turnout for putting a survey out to see what people thought. And it was specifically, like I said, looking at recreation to see how much of those needs we had and to see if there's opportunities. Does that leave, how much space does that take? And does that leave opportunities to be thinking about broader, bigger things like affordable housing, like selling off a piece, like what does that all look like? Well, the staff had just gotten the report a few days before the meeting as well. They haven't had time to digest it.
How long is the report? Is it
like 45 pages?
Okay.
It's pretty big. It's hefty. Yeah, it's got all the data in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the work's not finished.
Mm-hmm.
The timeline doesn't have to be that we have to know these answers right this minute. Like I said, we land banked it. We've come up with a payment plan that borrows money from the bond fund. We have to now plan how to repay that money back, and we're looking into that. We'll come up with options for that as well. And we have talked about selling off a portion to recoup part of the investment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing what the needs of the community were, how do you decide how much of it to sell off? Because you need to leave enough left to be able to do something productive with it. So that was part of this goal too, to see what requests came out of there and what now the staff can take it over the next couple of months and look at it to see what other kind of options fit. So we'll have our affordable housing staff look and see what makes sense. We'll have our economic development director look at, now that we have some guiding principles. And the council's not saying accept all the guiding principles, but at least it's a basis to start from. Because some of the guiding principles are like align the road up to enter from the Legion Road side across from Europa Drive, so that you could have, if you need to have a lighter
like a
roundabout
or something
that it makes it a little more apparent instead of people making a double jog to get in or out of there. Things like that. Make it visible that it's still a park, provide visibility, make it accessible to everyone, of course, and to make sure there's a walking trail, connect. There's a multimodal way to get through the property. The neighborhoods were pretty insistent that we not have driving through the neighborhoods, but also not parking on their neighborhoods, like a designated parking area.
Right.
But to have bike and pedestrian access, but again, that probably had to be bollard off for allowing emergency vehicles to get in and out. Those kinds of things. So those.
You mentioned paying for it. I know there's a payment has been made. There's still more left to pay on the property, and the plan is to borrow from the bond with the idea of like putting the money back in that bond later.
So the third graders came and did the field trip at town hall yesterday, and they recommended a bake sale.
Okay,
so
good.
We're gonna do a major bake.
Why not?
Sale.
Yeah. Every little bit helps, right?
We're gonna be having those discussions of what are the opportunities. We are waiting to get our final numbers from last year's budget to see if we had any fund balance overage like we did with the first payment. We're looking at all those numbers. The staff will be coming back with some recommendations of different options. For now, since the payment is due on March and we don't have any offers to purchase a property right this minute, we will be borrowing from the bond fund allowance to do this, but it was never the intention to take it away and not put it back. So I'm not sure what will happen in the next year before the next payment, but we will have a plan in action before then.
Okay. So the Chapel Hill Cultural Arts Commission letter that I've got here saying, please don't take the $3.5 million away from the cultural arts.
So I like to say we borrowed it. We will be putting it back.
Okay.
And then we need to have that part of the conversation too. Does a cultural arts educational component happen at this site or not? So that's what staff needs to see, what the results were from the task force, whose mission was only to look at recreational at this point. So.
Okay. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, that was last night's meeting,
or
at least a big chunk of it. What else is on tap?
So yesterday we had a really productive discussion with Town Gown Arts. We had members of the university, members of different arts groups and committees, and some elected officials at an arts talking about how we collaborate, how we share what's going on both on campus and how we engage people off campus from campus. We talked about the different dynamics with that, and everybody was in agreement we want to make it work better together. And so we'll be having continued dialogue on how to an action plan. We like to take action. But it was fascinating to hear some of the constraints the university has and things they try to do between their students who are art majors and their students who are not art majors, and the facilities they have to share. But the performance arts, the visual arts, the musical arts, we talked about that. I want to always encourage citizens that you are welcome to go to performing arts on UNC campus, whether it's Playmakers, Memorial Auditorium, a musical concert. There will be now, the Current will be at the Carolina Square starting in February. There's all kinds of opportunities to take advantage of both. And we're both trying to say between the town and the university and the county, all of us, that we want to share all that together.
Yeah.
So we want people to know that they can share all that together, and how we communicate that information was one of the topics as well. The Art Everywhere, which is the university, is helping create an app for people to know the activities going on campus. I think that's going to be great, and how we build on that and include community events going on as well.
I think the Current's going to be really cool, too, just because there is that, I mean, UNC campus is pretty much right downtown, but there is kind of like that stone wall divide between here's campus and here's downtown. With the Current, there is no divide, right? It's campus, it's UNC, but it's right downtown. So there's that.
They said that was strategic on their part to blend into the community.
Yeah.
They're also going to have some visual art display there, and they're also going to be holding community gatherings around art there, where they'll have dialogues and dinners and people bringing together people to
discuss.
They've
already got that orange sculpture, which is
really
cool.
It's really cool. The helix. So it was a really good meeting on how we work together. All right. That was really good. I said we had 76 Scroggs frogs come yesterday to run the town. I loved it. They were really interested in raising money for playgrounds and saving trees. They didn't want us to cut any trees down for playgrounds. So it was very fun conversations. They're always, the energy is wonderful. The questions are hilarious. We like that. We have a lot of holiday events coming up in downtown specifically. This Sunday, there's the holiday bazaar at 140 West.
It's gonna be cool.
Noon to 3. It should be really cool.
Weather's going to be perfect.
It's going to be really good. And then the tree lighting at University Baptist Church garden area right there starts at 6 p.m. It's a wonderful event. There's hot chocolate and singing and people. It's just a very festive mood. It's very family friendly, so we love that. And then next Saturday, we're having the holiday parade downtown at 10 o'clock. Are you going to be in that area?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're telling everyone we're going to be pedaling down the street, and we're not telling anyone what that entails, but it's going to be real cool.
I don't know. Okay, pickleball people told me they were having a float down there. So we're just all about everything with that. So that is going on. And then next week is our organizational meeting. We are going to be swearing in 4 new members, and then I get re-sworn in, so it's exciting. And before that, we're going to do a mock meeting with the new members to get them ready. It's a big ordeal. It's an organizational meeting. We'll be saying our farewells to the 4 members rolling off and honoring them, which is good. And then we will break and have cake and
Sounds good.
And then we'll come back in January with a work session where we've actually added on starting the process for looking for a new town manager.
Town manager.
So that's all good. A wonderful thing we did approve last night, which is always fun to approve, donations from the Friends of the Library.
Nice.
Donated $40,000 to help. They're going to be making a welcome hub in the front of the library. The Friends have already donated numerous dollars for doing all kinds of wonderful projects. We're very grateful. They're having the book sale this weekend.
Yes.
That's one way they raise money. So come buy books, and they always take donations of books to sell at the next one, so that's really good. And then December 6th, which is our organizational meeting, has nationally been declared Abolition Day. And we wanted to honor it. We did it last night because we don't do proclamations and all that during our swearing in process, but I'm really excited about making sure we honor and remember and where we were and where we are now, and that we still have work to do.
Townofchapelhill.org is the website. Find out more. We got to wrap up. I'm Mayor Hemminger. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.